are listening to Chopping Wood with your hosts, Andy Palmquist and Matt Malius.
Welcome, Timbers fan!
You know, Chuck Norris doesn't watch the MLS, but he is a fan of Kenny Cooper.
It's true, I ended up with a Timbers jersey from the gift store there, which means that I had too much to drink.
I think you were sleeping during that part of the game, Matt.
That's embarrassing. Did a little hop and a little wiggle. And got kind of giddy.
He's like a really excited little puppy.
I feel like I've seen that movie, you know, 3 or 4 times now this year.
How is it possible that he is the heaviest man on the team?
He's a very dense person.
It's crazy. Does that mean he's not eating cupcakes?
Yeah, you know, I don't think
mostly muscle, I feel like.
Oh, good old bright. We're recording. We should welcome people in.
All right.
Hello. Welcome to Chopping Wood, final episode of the season.
Special event today. We have 4 hosts for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to welcome Grant, Cole, and Shane and Rubenfeld.
Welcome, fellas.
I'm Grant Cole.
Shane, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Cole's short for Kolzowski.
Yeah, actually, it used to be cool, spelled like the cigarettes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for downloading us once again and listening to us have many rants on the Portland Timbers as we close up this season that was full of fail and disappointment.
Mostly forgettable.
Yeah.
But we did bring home some silverware.
We did.
We got the
Cascadia Cup.
Couple of weeks, yeah.
First time ever to get the Cascadia Cup over the Sounders win in the same league.
That's right. Yeah, we won it twice before. It was when it was just over Vancouver.
So maybe that's just ever. Right.
Yeah, and came close to not winning it. Really, really close.
I would say, yeah, despite it's like Mitt Romney. We won it despite Gavin Wilkinson,
right,
and not because of it.
That's true.
The hell of a goal by Jack Dewsbury.
Yeah. I don't know. What was a pretty tepid performance otherwise?
Yeah.
We all gathered together. What was that brewery?
Migration.
Migration.
Mm-hmm.
It was excellent.
Yeah.
Nice crowd of folks there.
Good selection.
Yeah.
Dirt tons area, of beers I don't know.
Dart area a little cramped, if you're listening.
No one cares about owners.
I was on the other podcast this week in darts. Sorry, Shane. But yeah, Timbers came out with a victory in Vancouver, ensuring that for the second season in a row, we remain unbeaten against the Whitecaps.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Is that true? We were unbeaten against Whitecaps this year?
Last two seasons.
Ever.
Last two seasons. Wow.
In MLS,
yeah.
We have 4 victories. And 1 draw. And no losses to them. That's dominance right there.
That's pretty cool.
Not even Seattle has been that dominant over them.
And they were a decent team this year. Or, I mean, they made playoffs.
They made playoffs. They whimpered out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
It was really unfortunate. Maddox scored for them.
He did.
Pretty early. I think it was about the 20th minute.
I bet he's a guy that, as a teammate, you love to have. But I hate that guy as an opponent.
He's so difficult.
He's quite a jerk.
He actually didn't even start the game we played against. Came off the bench and got a yellow card for such activity as you suggest, Amelius.
Throwing them bows.
Definitely. And then Whitecaps gave up a penalty and a second goal all in the space of about 3 minutes. So they're out of the playoffs. LA is going to play San Jose. But, yeah, just to wrap up, good to have the cup, obviously.
Yeah.
That was our first road win of the season.
Yeah.
Goal.
That's amazing. Last road game, first road win.
Had to wrap it up right there.
It's poetic.
Yeah.
Really. It's good signs for the future.
Yeah,
right?
It's a little hopeful.
Although we finished last season with a draw as well, even though it didn't mean anything.
Yeah, but this was San Jose. They won the cup.
The Supporters' Shield.
The Shield. Sure.
Yeah, best regular season team. I think they kind of backed into it, too, because somebody lost before two weeks ago, and they had the Shield for 2 games. Already.
Right.
Were they resting their starters? Did you notice that?
Not
they didn't. Wando was in, but he was trying to break the record, which
he tied it.
Goals on that season.
Yeah, I mean, that's a
pretty
rough one.
Awesome.
Was it 26?
Accomplishments.
27. That's interesting. I'd like to hear what you have to say about this there, Grant, because as a former Bay Area resident with connections.
It's true.
With the San Jose fellows.
Yeah, I mean, I think... You know, I don't know. It's hard to see them. I mean, I like Wando is a hell of a player.
He is.
hell of a play.
And you want him to do well for national team purposes.
Yeah, definitely. Although he has not been very productive on the national team ever.
It's true.
But the guy knows how to find the back of the net in the MLS. It's amazing.
He does. There was some buzz before this game against San Jose discussing whether the Timbers Army would welcome Wando's attempt to break the record. And it seemed to be a defiantly no.
Yeah, definitely not. yeah, and there was like, I was surprised at the tension, or I guess the choice of the 1906 Ultras with their TIFO when the Timbers played them
down in San Jose.
Down in San Jose. Yeah. I feel like the San Jose fans just like kind of want to.
They got a bit of chip on their shoulder.
Yeah, I think they're just looking for a rival.
Yeah.
You know, they need to create
one. That's true. That is, yeah. That is a good point.
You know.
So, as to, you know, the atmosphere building up to this Wondolowski penalty, Shane, you were at the game.
Yeah, your thoughts, Shane.
Do you have any thoughts on the atmosphere?
I remember very little of this because I had drunk too much before and during.
You looked great that day. You looked awesome.
Found out later through video highlights that there was a penalty kick. I did yell while I was there. I definitely watched it all. It was the recording mechanism that let me down. I did. That's a low moment. First time I've cried surrounded by thousands of people before. That was a little sad.
I thought it was
wasn't really a soccer thing.
So upon seeing the replay,
good story.
How did you feel about this penalty that was awarded?
Oh, it was bullshit. Total bullshit.
That was the one where Ricketts came out, right?
Yeah.
And then
he stabbed it out from in front of Lenhart, who's probably the biggest diving flopper in MLS.
He is. I didn't think it was a horrible call.
Really?
Not horrible?
There was cause there.
I mean, I don't know. To me, it seemed like, watching the replay, it looked to me like Ricketts came out too far, got beat, and then made like a sort of desperation tackle
but
to get
the ball with it.
Yeah, but I don't know. I've seen that. Don't get me wrong. I am not a Lenhart fan.
Yeah.
But it seemed like a more reasonable time for him to go down or for any.
And it's tough because we're seeing it in multiple angles, and I think probably the ref was right behind
Ricketts.
Call
it as you
see
it.
Yeah. The ref was limited to a single angle.
I think so.
Okay.
I think that had to be.
I think that makes sense.
The ref was also drunk on the field.
The Shane perception.
Well, Wando tied the record with that goal,
right?
He
did. Mm-hmm. And I think some people have suggested that perhaps the league had prompted the officials to look for it a little bit.
Conspiracy.
Right.
Because it's good for the league to have that kind of thing going on, you know. But he had a golden chance in the second half with a header that he was wide open. And Shane does not remember
that. I believe you.
But he put his head in his hands after that opportunity.
Oh, I do remember that one.
I think I remember that one too, actually.
Yeah. It was the kind of opportunity you would have expected him to score. But all the same, so the Timbers finished the season with a 1-1 draw. Quakes, we also have not lost to in our 2 years
which
in
is
MLS.
Amazing. They're a very good team.
Although, whereas our dominance against Vancouver is featured by lots of wins, the Quakes, we drew twice with them last season, twice with them this season, and beat them once this season. So we're, four draws and a win. Not bad. It's a good thing to have that kind of thing. And maybe that leads to some of your suggestion about their ultras, that they need a rival and
for something.
Yeah. They haven't been able to get it over us on us yet, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So we finish the season with some numbers here. 34 games, just like last season. But a mixed schedule, the unbalanced schedule. So that was a little bit different if we're going to compare this year versus last year. Played a lot more of our rivals, so let's keep that in mind. This season we finished 34 points, point a game. And if relegation existed in MLS, we would have gone down. So that's reassuring.
Yeah,
that's crazy. Would we feel better about that if we had tied every game?
Oh, gosh.
Maybe.
We would have called it consistency. But without the ability to hit high or low.
I think we would have if we'd
unbeaten streak.
To tie.
Yeah.
It's an unbeaten season.
There are teams that have had seasons where they would play a certain amount of games, get that amount of points, and have like a perfect goal differential of zero, in which case you would just say, why did they ever go out to play?
Yeah.
You know, finish the season as you started. But I would much rather have a couple of games like a 5-3 or a 4-0, that kind of thing, than have 1-1 or 0-0 every game. Where's the fun in that?
Yeah.
You know, that's part of being a Timbers fan. The highs are high, but the lows are really damn low.
Yeah, you gotta like prove yourself as a fan to
stick it's true. To it. And
at least it's kind of a consistent low. You know, we're not just sinking and sinking and sinking. Or like maybe going up for a minute and then like plummeting.
Yeah, it makes the highs that much sweeter, you know, when you just live your life in that valley.
It's true. Well, it's funny too, because last season we had 42 points. We were just out of the playoffs, and our goal difference was way better. I mean, this year we had 34 goals for, so in 34 points in 34 games, so we scored a goal a game, 56 against. That is pretty, I mean, minus 18 on the goal differential, whereas last year it was 40 goals scored, 48 given up.
Wow.
So, I mean, our defense decreased and our offense decreased.
Do you know how many goals Cooper scored last, or
Kenny?
Yeah.
For the Red Bulls this year or for last year?
No, for the Timbers.
Seven. Last season.
Okay.
Boyd scored 7 this season. So that's flush. I mean, that's a wash basically.
Kenny Cooper had 18 goals this season.
18. He had a couple of two goal games there down that stretch that really inflated that number. And he also had one game where both of his goals were him being wide open in space and Thierry Henry having a chance to shoot it himself and instead just being super unselfish. So, if he was getting that kind of service in Portland...
Still goals.
Yeah, it's still goals.
Yeah.
So, we've known this for 4 months, but it's been a dismal season. And the numbers bear that out.
Yeah.
Shane, what do you have to say about Gavin Wilkinson?
Well, I was hoping that you guys would express this last podcast.
After the Seattle game?
Yeah, I meant to send you an email and ask you to read these words on air. Fuck yourself, Gavin Wilkinson.
Oh, strong words. Yeah,
very strong
words. That's after the Seattle game, which he knew meant so much to the fans, and kind of gave us the middle finger, I think.
Yeah.
I really do think that had a lot to do with the whole GDF out movement. That was his. He knew exactly where many of the players that he fielded for that game stood. Right? There's no reason to put Palmer on that game.
No. Was there? We know what he brings to the table.
Everybody does. It's like...
And to put out an experimental lineup, you know, like that was, you know... When we had Mike Donovan on the show, he said, you got a chance to win a trophy, go out there with your best team, you know. That was before they put out the shitty team. So that was a bit of prognostication there from Mike. But yeah, I mean, Grant, you think he might not be as destructive an influence, right?
I don't know that. What I would say is that I think that he is subject to the Timbers Army using him he's a very convenient scapegoat right now. Whether, and I'm not saying that he's not part of a problem with the Timbers, but I wouldn't be surprised that whatever problem he is contributing to, it's augmented by the need for the Army to
blame something.
Yeah, to find someone to blame, you know.
I think that's the problem with the amount of fan support and consistency that the Timbers Army has, is you get to a point where you sort of expect a certain level of success, you know, because we deserve it, quote unquote. And I wouldn't disagree that, you know, we shouldn't have a bad product, a good product, because we're, you know, a great fan section, but, you know.
Yeah.
Oof. Right, you have a funny look on your face.
Sorry, my cell phone went off. It was embarrassing.
That's okay. This is a very professional podcast. Yeah. So you got a lot to worry about.
Yeah.
Our sponsors, Grant, think about the sponsors.
I forgot about them.
Insert pitch for sponsors. No, really.
I'm hungry.
We got to keep Shane fed. And
yeah, anybody trying to move burritos out there?
I'd support it. I eat a burrito two or three a week.
Yours is the best burrito. Nice.
Maybe the tamale lady will walk by and she could sponsor the podcast.
She'd be a great sponsor.
Yeah, definitely.
Those are awesome.
So, we're looking back on the long haul here. What was your favorite memory of this season? Favorite game or favorite memory?
I think it's sad. The first thing that comes to mind, I want to say the Seattle game where we had the TIFO, but I actually gave my
tickets away.
My tickets away for that game, which was unfortunate, but I was out of town. But I think the opener when with against Philadelphia,
yeah,
and that was Boyd's goal off of that Al-Hassan
cross
that was gorgeous.
Wow,
and which is sad. To say that the my highlight of the season
was the first game.
Was the first game.
Kept you coming out.
It did.
How about you, Shane?
I mean, I'm right there with Grant in that it was, for me, it was almost the preseason. It was
right.
So long ago. You know, we've had these discussions off air many times about kind of comparing last season to the Blazers last season. We're going into it with so much expectation. Like, we're, you know, same squad, a year older and a little better, right? We brought in new people.
We were close to the playoffs last season.
We had Boyd, you know, we had all this excitement over Quincito coming in.
Songo.
Things were, it was so exciting, right? And it, you know, eventually deflated like a souffle that has been forgotten. that Boyd, the Boyd goal, he runs off shaking his finger, and then the photograph, which I think you may have on your Facebook, of Boyd shaking his finger in
Freddie Montero's
face. Great stuff.
How about you, Emilius?
Highlight?
Favorite moment or favorite game?
Favorite moment? Oh, I mean, the one that jumps out to me actually is Chris Boyd's like crazy volley off the tip where he put his foot above his head and knocked it in and then ran away like pumping his arms and punching and like super excited.
I think that was Vancouver.
That was the moment where I thought like he's truly enjoying himself in this city.
Uh-huh.
Sigh.
Yeah.
I think it speaks to Boyd's charisma and is one of the reasons that we'll talk about this later, but I hope he's around. Right? And there are so many moments in that slump in the middle of the season. When he seemed like, you know, I wish he played a different position because we need somebody in the midfield at the back who really got fired up and who cared.
Yeah.
And there was a couple games when we got like consistently fouled and no one was coming up to get in the ref's face or to get in that player's face. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was like, man, if Boyd were a midfielder, he'd be there.
Yeah.
And that's kind of something that I lay at Jack's feet because he didn't do enough of
campaigning for the team. Yeah. It's interesting about Boyd, too, because he's truly a big game player.
Yeah.
You know, that's what he needs to work on is the games that don't mean as much. Like, going to Chivas and playing at friggin' noon, you know, in front of 5,000
fans,
school kids.
Yeah.
You know, it's that kind of thing that's really a lot harder to get up for. And sure, it's great when you're at home and you got the Timbers Army. But, you know, you go on the road, you got to have something to motivate you in.
I'd say $1.25 million is a good enough motivation to get up for Chivas.
That's a good point.
It's all you got going on.
All right, come on. Fair enough.
No pity for the highest paid player who can't get up for the match.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
You should always be interested if you're getting paid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's your profession. I mean, at one point they had never been a professional and would have been super excited just to be there.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's a sign of an old, tired veteran.
Yeah. He's only 28, though. He's got some years in front of him.
Well, then hopefully. It's terrible mentality, right?
Yeah. In the peak of your career, especially.
Absolutely.
So to wrap up the moment, it's funny that you guys said Philly. I totally am shocked that nobody said Seattle, actually. I mean,
right.
I do see your point about that going. But even that game would be almost like the go-to. I wrote down Philly, too.
Yeah.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. I mean, it was a long offseason. I know I've said before on the podcast that what is difficult about being a Portland fan is that we needed the Timbers to rescue us from the Blazers last season, you know, and now we need the Blazers to solve us from the Timbers being awful. It's just an endless cycle of bullshit. But
that's true.
But anyways, you know, it was a long wait up until then. We'd made some big good additions. Boyd was playing in a really rainy game that was just like Glasgow, you know. And that's, I think, another reason why he was so into it is familiar to him. And Al-Hassan played amazingly. Mm-hmm. After all of those attempts last season when he put it over the bar trying the exact mm-hmm. same shot, he scored and put that assist on Boyd's head. And just the way Boyd looked when he reeled away from that goal, you know, was amazing.
Yeah. It was great skill in the shot, too. You know, I think it was like immediately proving yourself.
Yeah. And it was like a glancing header that looped over the keeper. That's really difficult.
Sweet side netting, yep.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
And knew that it was in, like, before it even had gone past the keeper. Because you could see that on his face. We were close to the action that game. You know, it was the first game of the season, and we waited, what, 7+ hours in the rain?
Yep.
With maybe one or two stops at the bullpen, or whatever they're calling it now, but momentary stops. Shout out to Kerry Donovan for helping out there. Mm-hmm. Philly. It was Philly for me. National TV had a good TiVo that nobody could see because of all the smoke. Hopefully they'll figure that out next season. But yeah. Who's your favorite player of the season? This is a tough one because I feel like I have an idea where Shane would go.
Where? I'm interested to hear.
I think you're going to go with Chara. So you're a fan of Chara.
He got the Player's Choice Award.
He did. It's just interesting. It speaks to what kind of season, and I know I'm putting words in your mouth, but it speaks to what kind of season we've had that our defensive midfielder, who had no assists and no goals, is, you know, in the top two or three of Player of the Season. Mm-hmm. And second most fouls in the league. It's good that he had avoided that little honor.
You don't know?
I probably would say Chara, but it's been 2 years straight of me thinking that he's, you know, the best or most effective player that we have. Sometimes going weird with the...
Yeah, when you slam the beer bottle down,
yeah,
it turns off.
I just feel like I should move on a little bit, right?
So who are you going to go with?
Do you have a different choice?
Are you ready to jump ship?
I don't know. There's so much about Boyd's personality that I want to highlight, but we've already talked about that, and you know, he's not backing it up too much on field. I got my list here. And then, I guess it would be Zizo, is what I was thinking. Because I think he showed flashes last season, and we were all like, oh, Zizo's great. He's super fast. He pushes the ball. He beats people off the dribble, which is huge. And I think he made a step this year, despite being injured for a lot of it. When he came back, he made a big step when he was actually just like going ahead, still beating people, and then actually taking a few shots on goal, which is great.
He got a goal?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I think he took the step we were hoping he would, and that puts him up in my book.
To me, he's a guy who sticks around for sure, assuming he can stay healthy.
Yeah.
Grant?
The person that comes to mind for me is David Horst.
Interesting.
And I think that, I don't know.
Because you're a facial hair fan?
I don't know. I can think of... I think he's been one of the more consistent players in the back line. As I'm saying that, I'm like thinking about all the mistakes that I can picture Horst making. But he's been productive on offense. And I think that his, I don't know. I just like his energy that he brings to the field. I don't know if that's really, now I'm like regretting what I'm saying.
I hate him. He's the worst.
You could even chart back by the podcast that we've done. If you listen back several weeks, the market improvement that he made from game to game with action. And there were points in mid-season, even when Matt can tell you, I even remarked in the show, I worry about his ability to make decisions and that he always compensates for his lack of reading the game with his completely manly and athletic physique.
A lot of crucial stops in the box.
He made a major improvement. And, like, he's the kind of guy who, as you were saying, you know, the energy that we need from Chris Boyd that is not there in the middle. It's there from Horst at the back.
Yeah,
for sure.
It definitely is.
And if you saw, I mean, some people might think that it's a little bit vulnerable, too. But if you saw the way he protested at the penalty given to Lenhart, against San Jose, and if a lip reader would note that he has said some very bad words. And he even said in the post-game interview he felt like the league was looking for a chance to give it to Wando, which was fascinating.
I'm surprised he didn't get fined for that.
Maybe they just figured it was the last game and you know.
I think that's a crazy idea that the league was trying to influence.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I think it's fair to say Horst. Yeah. I was actually thinking long and hard about him too.
Really?
But for me, I've got to say Sango has been the most consistent throughout the year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The thing I like most about Horst is that his work ethic and care about the game is so important. I mean, he's a house, and when he's on, he's on. He's playing great. But he also makes those mistakes, so he's not a perfect player. But Sango is another guy who, if he gets hit, continues to try and keep possession of the ball, make the play finish, and he works and works and works. He covers back on defense. You don't see him making a ton of mistakes. We didn't point at him on goals much, right?
Yeah, but he was productive offensively, though.
Definitely.
Very much so.
He was involved in so many of our goal-scoring plays.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would agree with Sango, even though I feel like he's also flawed to a pretty significant extent on his ability to finish plays. Mm-hmm. He is great at putting shots on goal that don't always necessarily score. Although, to be fair, he did score an excellent free kick for us.
Yeah.
That, you know, is something that I've called out for a long time that we
haven't had a legit one.
Precisely, yeah. So
it did squeak under the goalie, right?
It did. It might have been a little bit dodgy on the goalie's part, but it was still a good goal. And you still, like, to put a free kick over the wall and
the bottom corner.
The corner under the goalkeeper, that's an amazing shot.
Off the bounce is tough to predict, too.
I would like to see the numbers. I do. The other thing I think is I think he cops up the ball a little, you know, maybe it was earlier when he was starting to get a lot of playing time that he did it more, maybe, but I think he does have a few more turnovers than we might want.
Yeah. Well, it's because what he does is he goes on these tricky runs, and he passes a bunch of guys, but then tries to take it too far, and then turns it over when he's tired. I feel like he is really good at taking on guys in the way that only Zizo, you know, is the only counterpart on that extent. But he just needs to figure out when to pass, you know, or shoot. So, but I feel like he was one of our most creative, you know, most creative influences. So, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back and discuss a little more this evening. So, we've talked about some good moments and whatnot. How about going forward? Timbers are going to have to cut some players out of this scenario. And it's always difficult because Portland fans get very protective. They get very sentimental about their players. And
I think all fans do.
That's true. But I think we're particularly bad.
Especially because they're usually not very good teams that we get so sentimental to. It's like, oh, I really like that guy, but he loses all the time. Yeah,
but he's not good, so.
Right. We have to let that go.
It's so keeping that in mind, who do you guys see us getting rid of realistically? And who do you think we will keep going forward?
So the way I've suggested that we talk about this is pick our starting 11 and then say who we would
absolutely get rid of.
See where it goes. And then another thing I was also suggesting is we pick a few players who, and this is for later, who we would be pissed if they left.
That's a good one. My first 11, barring any changes, would be probably Gleason in goal, be a year older. I don't see a huge reason to play Ricketts again next season, necessarily. From who we have now, say Steven Smith at left back, Mosquera, Horst until Jean-Baptiste is ready, which might be a year or two, and Chimera for now at right back, unless they sign somebody in the offseason. And then let's say we played 4-3-3, I'd probably have Chara in the middle, Eric Alexander, and Nagby, and then have a front three of Zizo, Boyd, and Sango. I think I would start Boyd in an ideal situation. How about you guys? Just tell me where you think it'd be different, really.
You put Alexander in midfield?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I like him, actually. I don't know.
He played in the game against San Jose in midfield.
Right,
Jack didn't even make the bench, which was interesting. He looked decent. I mean, but he was being the distributor.
I really like Alexander. I think I've talked about this a little bit in the past. But, you know, he's taller than you expect. He wins a lot of headers, which is something big, and especially if we're playing him kind of centrally, he's just going to win us a lot of those clears.
I know he hasn't scored a lot, but he has been
difficult. Assist leader.
He's been dangerous.
He's also put a lot of hard shots on the frame, which is huge.
Which is creating opportunities with follow-ups. That's interesting.
Yeah, I like that. I don't mind the absence of Jewsbury.
What about up top? What do you guys think?
I think Songo is an interesting choice to have for left or just up front.
Left attacker.
Yeah. Because, Zizo's got to be on the right and Boyd's got to be in the middle.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Songo will be that productive in that position. I think he is good at moving the ball from a midfield position to, like, advance it.
Yeah.
I don't know, though.
It's true. He also cuts in a lot.
See, I'd really like to see Nagby up there.
Interesting.
I do like Songo on the field. I think he's a great player for us. And
you just pull him back.
But, yeah, he should be behind or maybe in the center. I'm not sold on Chirah as a long-term solution.
Really?
No. I mean, he's okay. He's good, but he's undersized. He doesn't win a lot of balls. I mean, if you want to play sweeper back, like, I don't know. I'm just not that impressed with him. He's been okay, but he's one of those guys, like, when I think of that position, you want a stalwart.
More dynamism?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A brute of sorts. Like, if Horst could distribute, that'd be the ideal for me.
Yeah, that's interesting. What about you, Shane?
My 11? Or who would I replace?
Who would you replace? I mean, I presume we're probably all going to have a pretty similar backbone.
Jack is kind of high on my list.
Where would you put him?
I loved him last season. He was huge. And everyone knows, you know, my Captain Jack fandom. This year, not so much. You know, he had some great moments, but I feel like he, as a captain, totally dropped the ball. And, you know, our attitude on the road, I think, has to be laid at his doorstep to some extent.
It's the captain's responsibility to get him worked up.
And then, again, if you have complaints about the refs, that's another thing. It's the captain's job to you know, represent your team. I don't think he did a good job.
Interesting.
This year. So, that being said, that's the captain's position and not a starting 11 position that we're talking about. I like Alexander in. I kind of agree with Matt about Chirah in terms of just solely physicality. I love everything he does on the field.
Mm-hmm.
He's a little too small, right? And so if you could combine Chirah and Alexander in one person, that would be phenomenal. But you can't do that. Yeah.
If he had Chirah's attitude in the body of James Marceline, then maybe it would have worked out.
I always liked Marceline. I think that he was right to be frustrated with the way he was playing.
I think he was a little crazy in the head, though.
He's effective, though. I mean,
he had a good body, but he always fouled a lot, too.
Wait, was Mar...
complaining about a guy fouling a lot when you're talking about Chirah, the most fouled or foul-giving player?
Second most.
Yeah, okay.
Who was departed from the Timbers for the non-soccer reasons?
That was Marceline.
That was Marceline. I wasn't sure if I was confusing that with another person.
Mentally, he sucks.
Yeah.
For us, but I can understand his frustration.
That happens.
Yeah.
So, having considered who we mostly like as of now, obviously there will be some additions. Who would you guys say unequivocally you would like to see the Timbers part way with that's realistic? And I say realistic because there has to be some sort of demand for a player unless their contract is out. But just take it as a given that most of these guys have contracts that go beyond the end of this season.
I have no love for either of our outside backs. I could see either one of them going. Wow. I think there's some value.
Really?
Really?
But I'm not attached.
Do you view them equally?
Yeah, I do.
Is it just because they're foreigners?
Absolutely not.
Sorry.
Absolutely not. No, it's just that they have their fallback. I guess their faults that are not desirable. I'd like to see a faster back who's also consistent at containing defender or offensive players, controlling his side. I feel like we're just always getting beaten on the outside. Doesn't matter which side it is. You look at our goals, it's a breakdown on the outside defender almost always.
Yeah. I think you can take it as a given that that's the area we need to improve the most. That's the area most MLS teams need to improve the most. It's just not a very deep league when it comes to that.
I also think you wouldn't have those complaints if we could maintain possession in the attacking third, because that gives those back wings time to get, you know, just kind of jog back and watch the play develop, right? Yep. When they sprint all the way forward, and I loved Kimura, his first game, he had just several blistering runs up the sideline to deploy a few cliches, and then put in great crosses. He can't do that
every game.
Over and over and over, and he especially can't do that if he then has to sprint at 100% all the way back and play D, because the ball's there already, right?
He's not a particularly pacey player.
Well, I think he doesn't have the stamina, but
yeah.
I think he's super fast.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Matt, I think it's interesting because I really felt like Alex Steven Smith, also known as Steven Smith, I thought he had a really good finish of the season. And, when he didn't play against Seattle, a lot of people, I think, were pretty upset because he had a minor tweak of some sort. I think he had knee knack or something like that, like you just got. But I thought he played really well towards the end of the season.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had that one flub where he came damn close to scoring a goal during the away game against Vancouver, but against the Timbers.
Against the Timbers.
He came close. Yeah. He had a good comeback.
A phenomenal opportunity.
Come on. Okay, you got to let somebody go. Who would you guys?
I mean, I would much rather see, if you're going to talk about changing the back, the outside backs, I mean, I would rather see Kimura go than Smith.
I agree.
For sure.
And it's probably not as likely since we just got him, but MLS is one of those leagues more than anywhere else where guys do change teams more than once in a season. You know, we saw Sebastian Letou. He went from Philly to Vancouver to New York in the same season. It happened with Dax McCarty, who we got, we traded him for Rodney Wallace.
De Rosario
did it
last year.
Yep. So it's possible. That's where I would like to see us upgrade as well. And even if we don't make a signing there, we could even try to promote, you know, like Kowalik, for example. I don't know if he's ready, but we'll see. But Steven Smith, I would be okay with going into next season as the left back, personally. I think you could probably look at the list and say there are four-ish guys that are almost guaranteed to be let go, just as a combination of not playing, possibly not having a future here.
I don't expect to have the Rincon Rankin problem maybe next year.
I think they'll stay. They don't make anything. Yeah, and it was only their first season. I'm thinking Freddie Braun, who has been pretty much in the reserves in two seasons.
Facito,
I do not expect back. Where is this opportunity going to come there?
See, I thought we were in the circle of we want to improve our team, let goes.
What do you mean?
Of the starting 11, I feel like those are the two that we should take out. You're talking about Freddie Braun, bench players.
Well, I'm just saying it's a given. It's somebody we should probably expect to be gone.
Sure.
Like Chris Taylor, Steve Purdy, I think, is gone. Mm-hmm. You know, he hasn't seen the field for us in months. But other than that, as far as like a big player, I think Ronnie Wallace probably should be gone.
High value?
Any value. He's got some value to somebody. And that's the thing is we don't... Sorry, Rodney, but I think your time has come. You need to find another place where you can play more.
You know, it's so funny. I don't know if it's that you have him on the wall or if he just makes enough news to be relevant at all times, but mm-hmm. I feel like he's the most talked about underachieving player on our team right now.
Darlington Nagby.
Oh, snap. Hmm. Take us there, Shane.
He's our star, I think you might have in your head.
Shall we involve a statistic?
Please involve a statistic.
Who played the most minutes for the Portland Timbers this season?
Question. Andy, is it Darlington Nagby?
It's ding, ding, ding.
Darlington Nagby.
Wow, fascinating. He had 6 goals on the season. So does that mean we have high expectations?
Maybe Mike Donovan has these numbers somewhere. So tell us
in his ginormous brain.
Yes, in the stats. Out of however many games we played, can you tell me how many games he totally disappeared in?
Yeah, he does. He drifts.
It's gonna be a lot.
You know, and 2 of his 6 goals come against Salt Lake in that totally electric performance. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think I saw 2 goals like that in a game ever. Like watching, you know, maybe Gareth Bale, never mind. But
are we looking at him?
Yeah, we're looking at him. But he just, there are games when you don't even notice he's on the field.
And I just to move us along quickly, to open this next can of worms, I have, for all my hating, and I don't hate Darlington Nagme, I just think he wasn't effective and wasn't aggressive, played way too far back. It's fine coming back on defense, but when we're moving it up and you're sagging, you know, we have midfielders who are playing back there and can distribute just fine. He needs to push up. Hopefully, that's something that we can lay at Gavin Wilkinson, whether it's what he was asking Darling to do with his spots, or as someone whose job it is to inspire, and you know, the second half of the season especially. Hopefully, Caleb Porter, who has a relationship with Darlington Nagme, can change that and make him effective and make him the star that we expect him to be.
Interesting. Do you guys have any other like big players that you expect to be on? Anything that might be considered surprising? Any other players?
I mean, I certainly agree with Wallace. I guess we talked about Kimura going.
I could see Footy leaving.
Yeah.
We've got a log jamming at the center back position.
Do you think Chara follows Palazzo?
Not yet. I think Chara's in there for now.
You might have an option.
That's true. We'll see. He seems like he was getting settled in Portland, and we do have younger Colombians, too.
Were you going to say Al-Hassan?
I was not going to say Al-Hassan, but maybe we should discuss Al-Hassan.
Are you going to say Al-Hassan?
I was thinking about it.
Okay, what do you have to say about Al-Hassan?
I just don't know. I think that he's a player that other teams might find that people could see value in. I mean, I like Al-Hassan, but...
Maybe he needs a new opportunity?
Yeah,
He didn't play much. He did not. He had a couple of good moments. I considered making a TIFO of him this season, so that reflects that at least I have him in some value.
Consider, I believe you said you were.
I was going to.
Going then, to bring one to the next game.
Ah, damn it.
I'll have it done tomorrow.
Did you tape our
That's so Andy Palmquist.
I really flipped it on you. Well played, sir.
Nicely done, Shane.
Awesome.
I'll drink to that.
Great.
Your guise is nuts. No longer.
Al-Hassan. I expect to see him back.
Well, who were you going to say if not Khalif Al-Hassan, Andy?
Chris Boyd.
Oh, yeah. And everyone thinks that he's going
to
go.
I just have to point out before we start into this, there's four of us in here, but two Jews, which means we have six opinions in this room.
Classic. Wow. It's one of those podcasts now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
But honestly, everybody has a thought on Chris Boyd. What do you guys think?
Can we go back to the blatant racism?
More on that.
It's all in good fun.
Opinions heard on this show are not necessarily shared by everybody.
Yeah, mainly the Jews. Anyway, back to Boyd. I was surprised, talking before we started recording, that it seemed like people here were generally unanimous with our like for Boyd. And
meaning we're going to bring him back.
That we would all choose to bring him back if we could, if we were GMs.
Who's so
funny? Oh, except for... Nope, never mind. Matt gesturing wildly.
Three strikes and you're out. Put that phone in your pocket.
Yep, sorry.
That's cool.
Can we put her on air? I beg you. I'm serious. Is there a way we can do that? Speakerphone.
I already missed it.
You're on the podcast.
We have a guest. Claire. Or Sophie. Something French.
It's our Canadian. First call-in guest.
We should definitely do that.
So once Chris Boyd.
If anybody's lucky enough to call us during a chopping wood session, we just have to pick up the phone.
How come we haven't done this before? Please call us. Also, Andy's not drinking his beer fast enough, so if you could text him right now, if you have his number, text him right now. Andy, drink your beer. Thanks.
We're not live, Shane. Yeah.
That's the joke.
So, well, Boyd, I think, can we all agree that he has drawbacks?
Chris Boyd?
That he doesn't play defense. He has to stick up around the goal.
Is that an important thing for a striker?
Depends on if, yeah.
Staying near the goal. Score a goal. Okay. Unless you're David Beckham.
I see.
Yeah, that's true.
Some people have done it, but...
The simple math is he scores goals. He scored 7. It was possibly a little disappointing, but at the same time, you know, That's as many as Kenny Cooper scored.
Again, it boils down to possession, I think, because you can have a slower build-up, which is ideal for him.
Mm-hmm. Right, so you think he might be okay in the new system?
Wow, sexy. Sexy.
He's got 1 year left on his contract.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And play it out.
And he's out of form, probably. He's definitely out of favor right now.
I think if he has a full off-season. Sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. Yeah. We will see. I would like to see him stick around, play preseason, at least get some value up.
Yeah.
Let Caleb Porter make the decision. That's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah.
He's definitely a quality player. There's no reason to get rid of him. We have a lot of, what do you call it, hopes and dreams in a lot of young players. This guy's a proven commodity.
It's true.
So eventually you either decide we're going to make it work with him or these guys are working. I think there's value in keeping him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
So I think we're pretty unanimous there that he starts the season with the team next year.
I mean, yeah, like
and whether you know, depends on how hard he works to see whether he starts or not and other, you know, buys. Last topic of discussion. Caleb Porter is coming in the end of the college season. What kind of difference is he going to make?
Huge.
Yeah.
Going out there and saying it's way better than GW. Not really...
I think it's interesting because when Grant was saying about how, you know, Wilkinson's become such a scapegoat, it's doubly bad for Wilkinson because he's also a bad coach.
Right.
And we are aware of the fact that that is not his strong suit, if you will.
What would you say is his strong suit?
Oh, damn. Picking fights with the Timbers Army?
He dresses fine sometimes.
Merritt Paulson clearly sees value in him. And I'm not Merritt Paulson,
yeah.
So I have no idea what that is necessarily. But I do I do trust his judgment to a certain extent, and I think that Paulson at least has been very
even.
Well, and he's talked about how they really want to favor continuity within the organization, and letting John Spencer go was clearly like a really big choice.
He cried during the
during
and the press.
That looked pretty authentic to me.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And I think that there's also value in having continuity in the structure of your organization. I'm not sure that Merritt Paulson necessarily is the right guy for that job, but I think that there could be
Gavin Wilkinson.
Sorry, I meant to say Gavin Wilkinson. Merritt can stay.
MPN.
Definitely.
Yeah, we'll keep that one.
Well, we should see, you know, what kind of success he's been having, and keep in mind as well. They're heavily invested in Caleb Porter going forward because he had a contract through, I believe, 2020 at Akron, which is the kind of stability you just don't necessarily find in professional level. And, you know, he was on a good amount of money, up to $350,000 a year.
And achieving success.
And, yeah, being extremely winning. Successful. Timbers had to pay $200,000 to buy it out of the contract. But this is the kind of success he's having this season. They've played 18 games, Akron, and granted they're not in a great conference. They have 15 wins and 2 draws, 1 loss. And they've given up a total of 6 goals this season.
How many have they scored, Andy?
39.
That's a lot of goals, Andy.
That's a good difference.
That's a great goal difference. I agree, and he's played some difficult teams. He's given up 1 goal since the 10th of September.
Well, one thing I like a lot about Caleb Porter is the fact that it's going to mesh well with our team dynamic. A young coach coaches young players routinely, and we have one of the youngest teams in the league.
We do.
And we also have Darlington Nagbe, who Caleb Porter's gotten a lot out of in the past.
Yeah.
Which hopefully can translate into Darlington's professional career.
Ripe for a punny local beer as well. Who's going to be the first microbrewery to make the Caleb Porter?
Probably somebody Classic. Already has. And that's my guess. Some enterprise
branded,
fellow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Grant, have you gotten Madeline on the phone? Or, I forget.
It's Claire.
Oh.
So it seems like we have high expectations for him. He's probably going to play 4-3-3. And so I'm really excited to see what the offseason brings us.
I mean, it's only going to get better.
Yeah. And, you know, at the end of every game, you know, somebody breaks out with the song, "We're going to win the league. I don't know when, I don't know how, we're going
to
win the league."
Mike and that guy. Try to get them to say something. Just ask them a random question. We're going to win the league. Let him interrupt you. I want us to actually interrupt.
All right. Well, I'm very optimistic.
Yeah, I think it can't be any worse than it was this season, in all honesty. It'd be pretty difficult.
I mean, we're not in last.
That's true. First.
No, we're not. No.
At least if we got in last, we'd get the number one pick in the draft.
Yeah, that wouldn't be bad.
We got a high lottery chance, though.
We do. No, it's not lottery. Straight placement. Straight draft. Yeah, so we'll have the third pick overall. Just still a good pick.
And our coach is going to know that.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
He'll know. He could pick an Akron guy.
I bet he does. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
Within three picks, you know.
I mean, they're top two teams, so.
Depends on what the, what the positions are.
Yeah, and the importance of Caleb also being the U23 coach is huge.
Having the experience?
Yeah, having the experience of it.
Even if it did not go well.
Yeah, that is a bummer that it didn't go great. But he does have a strong relationship with, you know.
Some younger players.
Lots of younger players.
And he's young himself, too. This is a development in MLS. There's, I think, 5 coaches under 40, which is really good for the league. So. And a lot of them are guys that didn't necessarily pan out super great as players, and so thus started coaching early. So that's good for experience in this league of ours as well. Well, any other topics to discuss, guys?
Phone a friend.
Oh, how about kits? Really quickly, phone a friend. Shane's working on it. He's trying to find somebody to call on the internets. We're going to have new kits. Everybody here knows that we like our jerseys. And we're going to have new ones, I think, at the end of November. So I'm pretty excited. Are you guys okay with the green and red staples? Or would you see something different? Would you like to see?
Oh, I'd like to see a different style for sure.
Yeah.
Just to change it up, mix it up, make it exciting.
Yeah, I don't know if Adidas, they seem to have like a template, which is kind of awkward, especially if you look at the keeper kits.
The keeper kits are all the same, I believe.
Yeah. Our retro kit was awesome. That was a little bit of a...
Went off of the drawing board a little bit.
If you look at some of the English leagues, like some of them really do really neat things, like the rugby style collar, sleeves, different color patterns, and I'm hoping that we're if
hoops,
it's gonna happen at some point. Hopefully, it's us.
Melis, what color hoops would you like to have?
Green hoops.
Green hoops, like Celtic.
Green and green white.
Green and white. Not green and black. Gold.
I'd like it to ooh green.
Yeah, see, I was thinking they should bring back the gold.
Green and gold. That would be.
Be sweet.
Yeah. I'd get buried in it.
Wow. Indeed.
Right. We got to bring back gold somehow. I'd be fine with no white. Yeah. I don't know why we went red. We're a green and gold team traditionally.
So
not green and red. I think we can all agree.
Yeah. Definitely not.
Also, another look that a color combo looks good is green and black.
Yeah. I was thinking a black kit instead of red would be nice. Because, the training kits are black.
And there are not that many teams that go black, which is a surprise.
It's true.
DC is the big one.
But you need to have a light and a dark. Distinguishable.
That's true. Well, you got black, white, and green. That's distinguishable.
We keep the alternative jerseys. I mean, those were a flop. We put terrible. We never...
The white ones?
We had the worst games.
You guys are ridiculous.
Let's be honest here. It's the awful players in those beautiful jerseys that did not make the performance.
Yeah, you're ridiculous.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, we've never won with green shirts and white tops.
Listen, the white tops have been atrocious. That's
white
why we
shirts
lost
or whatever, yeah.
It's all green that's bad. All green.
Yes.
Let's wrap this train wreck up.
Feng shui.
And, I don't think we're going to podcast during the offseason. We'll probably just give it some time to lie fallow like a field in 17th century France.
Maybe waiting for more.
Maybe a one-off if we have a big announcement. We want to talk about the Blazers.
Possibly.
Maybe.
If the kits are that amazing or Shane wants to talk about the Blazers.
Yeah, we talked about having a one-off Blazers cast, so tweet us your reactions to that.
Twitter? Let's talk about Twitter really quickly.
Can we?
What's your handle, Shane?
It's a new thing.
Huh.
Shane_Amadan, AMADAN.
And he only tweets good stuff, so...
I retweet a lot.
He's not a mass volume tweeter like I am. And I'm at Palmquack, PALMQUAC. Check it out.
Grant?
I'm not big on the Twitter
thing.
Let's
move on to Matt. Matt.
Andy, what's my name again?
Malius MS.
Malius MS.
Right.
I tweet at him more than anybody else. And it's always just a retweet.
It's like, word up. Throwing dogs down a well.
Well, I'd just like to say... Thanks again, Grant Cole, Shane, Amadan, Rubenfeld, of course, and Malius.
Yes,
finished
sir.
Another season.
We did it.
We only did 25 this year. That's a little... We're going to have to up it. We're going to have to up it next year.
What was our goal differential?
I think it was 7. No, how many? No, we finished 50 2 weeks ago, I think.
Yeah.
So I think there's a number 52. I think we were -2 all on last season.
Take that.
That's all right. We both got married in the last 2 years, so that's a good reason to miss a show.
Mazel tov.
Thank you. Yeah.
You don't push Andy's buttons.
That's 2 Jewish references for those of you out there keeping score. You crazy college kids, take a shot. You can find us on chopperwood.podomatic.com, of course. We'll be right back at you in probably late February sometime after we've done some drafting and some pregame seasoning down in Arizona. Anybody?
Pre-gaming in general?
Yeah. Check out the Tumblr. Maybe we'll put up some fun pictures of Shane lying on his seat in the Timbers Army.
Crying.
Long after everybody else is gone, lying in stands while people are picking up garbage.
You laugh.
It was funny. It was very funny.
Oh, that's rough.
Thanks to you all again. I'm Andy Palmquist. Matt Melis is our other regular co-host.
Yeah, thanks, Andy.
Yeah,
thanks,
it's been funnier.
Thanks for having us, guys.
We'll see you guys next season. Hopefully, it'll be Rose City till I die.
Advertisement.